This is the first time I think I'm speaking with an OCO when it's not an occasion. Like before Yontif or 3 weeks or something to do with the calendar. And therefore I decided that I would like to speak about how to learn Chumash. Am I speaking in a month also? So maybe we'll have this as part one and part two. I mentioned that I wanted to speak about the Avos and how to understand them. But I think it's important first to understand and appreciate that Chumash has been around for a while, right? And we're all, Baruch Hashem, believing Jews. And we know that Chumash is a Dvar Hashem, Shtakel Baraiso Bara Alma. It's the blueprint of the world. And Chumash has also been, unfortunately, vilified. It's been attacked. It's even still being attacked. And especially in the 20th century, Bible criticisms, and things that went on in universities and things that went on outside of universities, there are a lot of people who are Rachmana Litzlan. I'm not talking about the non-Jewish world right now, 7 billion people in the world. I'm talking about the Jewish world. A lot of Jews out there who don't appreciate what Chumash is about. And I think the more armed we are, the better off we are. So I don't know if I'm going to give a medley of different things tonight, but I'd like to talk about, I don't know, see how many things we're able to talk about, but I would definitely like to talk about understanding and appreciating Chumash in the eyes of Chazal, and the eyes of Rishonim, and the eyes of Achrayim. And it's extremely important. Because as I said before, people can take Chumash and mangle it and twist it and therefore destroy it. And that's not what we do. And therefore we have to understand it and appreciate it. Okay, so let's talk about... I'll read your faces or maybe you'll let me know how many people are aware of the following question, which is really a very serious question. Here we go. Open up the Chumash. And Chumash says in the beginning of Parshas Noach, Rashi, I told you this before, I love learning Chumash and Rashi. And Rashi, in his incredible way of doing things, tells us that on Pasuk Yud Beis, which is the fourth Pasuk in the Parsha, Vayarol Kim Es Oretz V'Nei Nishchosa. Ki Hishchis Kol Basar Es Dark Al Oretz. So Rashi says, Hishchis Kol Basar. Every object, everything that was alive, was acting in a way of ashkosa, in a way of destruction. Afilu behema chayiv oif niskokin l'sha'ein aminim. They engaged in living with species that were not the same species. And the Gemara, Kuf Ches and Sanhedrin, elaborates with all types of wild, crazy, abnormal, wacko situations. Dogs living with different types of animals, cows living with different types of animals. Completely and absolutely illogical. I spent 11 summers of my life on a farm. My grandfather, Oliver Shalom, lived on a farm. My uncles lived on this farm. I was responsible for milking 80 cows. I had my own pony. The cows have nothing to do with horses. And nothing to do with cats. And cats have nothing to do with chickens. No sheikhas. What is the Torah talking about? Kihishkas kol basar. And what is Rashi talking about? And what does Chazal mean? What's going on? What's up, Shot? So are you familiar with this word? Famous Beis HaLevi, right? Do you know famous Beis HaLevi? So the Beis HaLevi says, in the soundbite form, but tonight I'd like to elaborate on the Beis HaLevi and get out of the soundbite form. But the soundbite form is the following. we, human beings, have a tremendous power. Tremendous power. Now, in the science laboratories, the greatest universities of the world, and the greatest research think tanks in the world, they have not yet discovered the relationship that there is between human activity and spiritual pollution. Now, science has made a lot of great and incredible breakthroughs. Incredible breakthroughs. They've made incredible things. In the Willis Tower, no longer called the Sears Tower recently. Just driving by it. It's not magnificent. It's incredible. It's incredible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created iron. Man was given the bracha to discover it. And then man was given the bracha to utilize it. And man was given the bracha to build with it. And man took the karkas and made skyscrapers. Not amazing? 103 stories, 24 feet a second. You get up 103 stories. Then they added this incredible architectural phenomena, if you want to use that term, right? You can walk out on these glass floors and see straight down 103 floors. Not incredible? It's incredible. I don't know how many people have ever gone over the Verrazano Bridge. Ever go over the Verrazano, what Verrazano Bridge is? Verrazano Bridge is in, connects Brooklyn to Staten Island. It has two levels. It can hold thousands of cars simultaneously. Thousands. It's the largest, at one point it was, I don't know if it still is, largest expansion bridge in the world. In the world. Over a mile long. Takes in the curvature of the earth. It's not amazing? It's amazing. It's amazing. Okay, so then you have to make sure that you don't get caught up in the amazement and forget about the amazement of what the Bayre does. But it's amazing. And the way it works is it's amazing that Kodesh Baruch Hu created materials and allowed a man to use his materials, and then these incredible scientists discover what they could do, and then the science or the skill of architecture figured out how to use things and how to make things, etc., etc. And they can hold up tens of thousands of cars simultaneously. It's a pell. No different than the pell of having a building that can go straight up for 1,000 feet and more and hold up people. Hold up people. A pell. Okay, so now comes along the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi said like this. Animals are living with animals that are not of their species because man was promiscuous. You say that in the university, you are laughed out of the room. You're laughed out of the room. And I understand that. They were never brought up with the concept of Ruchnius. They study incredible studies of germs, right? And understanding how germs work and how people can, Rahman al-San, pass on their germs to everybody else, and antiseptics, and what has to go on in the operating room and make sure that there are no germs, etc., etc. That's incredible. It is incredible. But they are not privy yet to understanding that besides the physical sciences, besides the physical discoveries, there are the metaphysical, what we would call the spiritual, the Ruchnius and the Gashmius. Now, this is what happens. I don't know because I don't have the glasses to wear it, but I wish I did. I've said this many times. If you went to the Lower East Side, pre-1986, and you put on spiritual glasses, you would be able to see rays coming out of Ramesha Feinstein's apartment that was spreading over the entire world and having an effect over the entire world. We are concerned with being able to create a protective shield against all types of missiles, etc., etc. Ramesha Feinstein made a protective shield for the entire world. He did. It was real. It was real. When Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Talmud Muvik of Chofetz Chaim, came to America twice in the 30s to collect money for his yeshiva, including 1938-39 when they begged him not to go back and he refused and he was taka killed. the Nazis Yimach Shemon B'Zichron. And Rabbi Chatzkel Abramsky, Chatzkel Levinstein, excuse me, Rebbetzin Levin from Tell's grandfather, who was in America in the 40s, both experienced the same thing. They drove through Times Square. I'm talking about Times Square of the 30s. Times Square of the 1930s. The mall on the corner of Tui and Lincoln is worse than Times Square. Tui and McCormick is worse than Times Square in the 30s. More promiscuous. He walked through, drove through Times Square in a car with his head down in the back seat, not looking around, you know, fearing, thinking and learning. And all of a sudden, said, "Wo geht man da? Es stinkt. Where are we? It stinks here. Spiritually." Chatzkel said 10 years later, when they drove through Times Square, he said, "Ich hab jetzt verloren 20 Jahre Musa. I just lost 20 years of Musa." Well, what, there's a Geiger counter. Well, what did he have? What are they doing? So here's the deal, Rabbi said. Says the Beis HaLevi, the cows went off the derech because the people went off the derech. And they spiritually polluted the world. There was pollution. They really polluted the world. And it had an effect. Had an effect. A real effect. I'm giving you two people, not post-Mabel. I'm giving you two people 1900s. There are still many people alive in the world who knew Reb Chatzkel, obviously, including his granddaughter, who lives right here in the city, and his grandsons who live in Lakewood. And there are many people, not a lot, but there are many people still alive who remember Reb Elchanan. Who remember Reb Elchanan. We're not talking about 300 years ago, or 500 years ago, or a mice about Rashi 1,000 years ago. We're talking about very serious people who live and died, again, within the lifetime of some people who are still alive. And they felt it. They touched it. They noticed it. And they couldn't tolerate it. Okay, so, says the Beis HaLevi, that the Pasuk is telling us that we have a negative effect or a positive effect. A negative effect or a positive effect. It's real. It's not a joke. It's real. Now, I am not telling you, or anybody in this room, who is going to meet someone who's thinking of becoming from that this is the first thing you should tell them. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we have to be fortified all the time. Because every one of us is exposed to things which are diametrically opposed to what we're talking about. I still read one article in a disgusting, I'm not going to tell you the name, in a disgusting Jewish newspaper. I say the word disgusting and horrific because they wrote articles against Torah and against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a rabbi, a person who calls themselves a rabbi, wrote such something that was so despicable. And the reason I'm angry at it, not only I'm not a big tzaddik, that if somebody does something despicable, I'm upset. But because I read it, every time I read the parsha that he wrote this despicable thing about, his stupidity gets into my head. I felt better once when I read that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that he once heard a joke that somebody made about a pasuk, and it affected him years later. Every time he read the pasuk, he kept on thinking about the joke. I felt a little better. I'm not comparing myself to Rishon Bezalman. I'm just saying, you know, disgusting. And we have to have the armor. So it comes along the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi was who? Who? Who was he? Huh? Beis HaLevi was? Rav Yosef Doiv HaLevi Soloveitchik. He was the father of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who was Reb Chaim Priska, the grandfather of Reb Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik and Reb Yosef Doiv Soloveitchik. Right? Excuse me. The grandfather of Reb Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik and Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. Reb Moshe Soloveitchik was the father of Rabbi Soloveitchik, both here and in Boston. Reb Priska Rav was the father of Beryl Soloveitchik, Yibodel Chaim Reb David Soloveitchik, who's still alive, he's in his 90s. Yeshiva, one of the Brisk Yeshivas in Yerushalayim. Beis Halevi was the Rav of Brisk, his son Rav Chaim was the Rav of Brisk, and his grandson, the Brisker Rav, was the Rav of Brisk. It's exempt. Three Soloveitchiks in a row. Grandfather, son, grandson were the three last three Rabbonim in Brisk before the Nazis, Yimach Shimon V'Zichron. Now, so the Beis Halevi says, among other things, a few of them I'd like to read to you. It says like this. The Kamai Ha'odom, Poyel B'Atzma, Yedei Hergelu, B'Maisav Aron, B'Oisav B'Atzma, Teva Shni, Elioiz Tidlai Mishtoikik. Every scientist would agree with this line. I'll read it slower now. Ha'inyan, the Kamai Ha'odom, Poyel B'Atzma, just like a person influences himself, Yedei Hergelu, by smoking, or by talking, B'Maisav Aron, B'Oisav Atzmai, and it becomes secondary in nature. And a person gets to the extent and says, I cannot control myself. That he continues or she continues to do that which they are doing and they're trying not to do it. They do it anyways. Even though they recognize that it's not really good for them to smoke, they smoke anyways. And it's not good for them to do what they're doing and they do it anyways. What an unbelievable thing. Beis Halevi. Long before the psychological world was talking about addictions. Yaakov Kamenetsky said, I heard on a tape, that if we'd have somebody from Jew, a Talmud Chacham, who would go through all of Tanakh, he could come up with all of the psychological insights that there are in the world of psychology. They're all over the place in Chazal. All over the place in Chazal. Fascinating. Incredible insights that Chazal had to understanding human psychology. Human taiva. It's unbelievable. Zakta Beis Halevi. A person gets hooked. They keep on doing what they're supposed to do, even though they know they shouldn't be doing it. It's an unbelievable concept. He knows, she knows. If you ask them, does this make any sense? Of course it doesn't make any sense to do. So why are you doing it? So the psychologist will tell you why you're doing it. I'm not negating them. But Chazal will tell you why you're doing it. Because that's the power of the Yetzer Hara. Start slowly. Very weak, gets a little stronger, and gets stronger, and then gets stronger. And then you lose control. Can you regain control? Absolutely, you can regain control. Very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. It's possible. It's possible. Then it says, K'moy shomar akosel yidam aleim. He brings it right from a posset. It's unbelievable. He's right from a posset. Ukamai Kane who poil the maiso bechol oilam atachta in the cloud. Then not only does the person, so to speak, injure himself or herself by doing things which then force them to lose control, but they affect us. Ukamai Kane who poil the maiso bechol oilam atachta in the cloud. Voloimi boyim chet befahesh yaharivadi the garam lachirim aroyim shil medumem. We're not talking about only someone who sins publicly and then someone says, whoa! That person's being Mechal Shabbos. That person's eating tarfis. That person, Rachman al-Islam, married a goy. Or to be more current, that person married someone of the same gender. That's not what we're talking about. That's upgeret has an effect. But that's not what we're talking about. Even if a person sins in the privacy of their own room, he makes the koyach of this specific taiva stronger, until everybody is negatively affected by it. And now, therefore, I have a taiva. I have a greater taiva because of what this person does. I told you already. I like Oreos. I try not to eat them. You know what else I like? I like candy corn. And I come home one day during Sukkot. And my wife, she should be blessed for everything she does, bought my grandchildren Oreo cookies stuffed with candy corn cream. I mean, what do you want me to do with it? Right? What do you want me to do? Baruch Hashem, it's disgusting. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Right? My grandchildren like it. I'm back to Oreos with regular white cream, double stuffed, finished. That's what I have to work on. I'm working on it, Baruch Hashem. But it's a joke? It's not a joke. Is a joke? It's not a joke. No, it's not a joke. It's not a joke. I'm not talking about the fact that when we upgrade our, so to speak, consumption and let everybody else see it, that that's a misoyan. That's upgurit. That's push it. That's alibis. If I see somebody else doing it, maybe I want it. But if I don't see somebody else doing it, I still want it without knowing why I want it. Because somebody else created that title. Now, I want to give you the opposite. The Vilna Gaon once worked at Akasha. And he worked on Akasha, the Vilna Gaon. We don't know what the Vilna Gaon was. We don't know what it means. The Vilna Gaon worked on Akasha. And he finally got a teretz. And somebody walked into Beis Medrash and heard somebody else say the teretz the Vilna Gaon worked on for whatever it was, 3 days. And somebody walked over to the Vilna Gaon. How can it be? Rebbe, you worked on 3 days and walked into Beis Medrash. 5 minutes later, somebody asked him about Akasha. The guy gives a teretz. Like, it took you 72 hours. It took him 3 seconds. So what did the Vilna Gaon answer? The Vilna Gaon answer, I brought it down to the world. I brought the teretz down. I made it easier for everybody else to figure out the teretz of his kasha. I brought it down. I worked for 72 hours. And he benefited from my labor. That's the positive. King Yisad Malko Shel Oilam, says the Beis Halevi. This is what God did. Vatvil Tevel Achol B'yosef Lios Tivam Nishtana V'nim Shechacha Ma'isodam Hergelo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that we are affected by what other people in our environment do. We are creatures of our environment. We are affected negatively by our environment. It's an absolute pillar. The world of science is 100% correct. We know that there are terrorists, and we know that there are countries full of all these types of bombs, Rahman al-Assan, that they could send out, with all types of viruses and putting things in the water, and all types of diabolical schemes. And everybody understands. The germs are out there, we could all be negatively affected. I mean, I don't want to be gross, but, if you're learning with somebody, B'chabrusa, and the guy sneezes and he has a cold, next day you find yourself, not in yeshiva because you got sick. Okay, that's the matzias, I try to stay away from me. I don't want to get in, I like you very much. I want to learn with you, just stay away. Okay, but it's true. But Gashmias is a reflection of Ruchnias. It's true in Ruchnias. Ve'inyan zeh hagam ki lenuchal asigo b'seichel. Beis Halevi, writing in the 1880s, or maybe earlier, says, even though a person cannot really internalize this in their intellect, mikol makom kol adam yuchal argisha b'chush. What does that mean? You go to a medina, you go to a country, and the prutza v'eza prat mena pratim. Says the Beis Halevi, you go to a country that is involved in a certain Aveira, and you never wanted to do that Aveira, you'll have a greater netiyah to do that Aveira in that country. You know what he says? He says, even though you can't understand it, kol odom yachol hargishay. Everybody can be margishay. I will give you something that all of you can be margish, because I haven't heard a person who didn't tell me that they can be margish. Margish means to feel it. Most people will tell me, if not all, when they go to Eretz Yisrael, they feel spiritually uplifted. Why? Most people. Some people have bad experiences, unfortunately. Why do most people feel spiritually uplifted? Yeah, why?
Because Eretz
Yisrael has Avir Dara Machima. Avir Dara Machima. Every time you inhale, you get smarter. Avir Dara Machima. I'm jealous of the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. Ain Terek is Eretz Yisrael. There is no Terek like the Terek in Eretz Yisrael. The Peros of Eretz Yisrael are different. Every Dalai Lama said a person walks in Eretz Yisrael, he's kind of Chelik in Olam Haba. Who doesn't want to be in Eretz Yisrael? doesn't want to be in Eretz Yisrael? Pardon me for saying it this way. Forget Zionism. This has nothing to do with anything. This is pure, unadulterated Chazal. Right? Eretz Yisrael has a certain... not a mystique. Eretz Yisrael has a certain physical, spiritual aspect to it that gives a person motivation, gives a person a lift. It's incredible. It's incredible. Zakhar B'Chanan and Zakhar B'Chatzkel, the opposite, L'Havdol of Abdullah, is you drive through Times Square. But you have to have your antennas up. You have to have worked on yourself. A person has to be able to feel it. That's why many people go to Eretz Yisrael who are not exposed to Torah and not exposed to Ruchnius. They don't feel it. Their antennas aren't up. They don't have the sensitivity. The sensitivity has been dulled. That's what the Beis Halevi is saying. V'chein hoya b'dor ha'mavol she'gbiru kol kach ha'taiva v'zdakik l'sheinam minam. The taiva to live with non-species by human beings became so strong. Even animals started doing it. You understand what's going on here, Rabbi Yisrael? We're not doing anything mystical. I don't even like the word. This is not Kabbalistic. Okay, this is Chumash Rashi. Based on a pasuk. Hishchis. Hishchis kol basar es darko. The animals started doing things that were abnormal. I'm not even going to read to you what I have in my Beis HaLevi, which I've saved for, I don't know, probably longer than most of you have been alive, okay? I didn't even like to mention the word. Not in the shir and not in front of, not in the show, but this article is, it's going back to 1976. Scientists were baffled that they found, I'm going to spell the word, I can't say it, L-E-S-B-I-A-N, gulls. Hear that word, L-E-S-B-I-A-N, gulls. Or the area in Haight's Ashbury in San Francisco. You can find out about what I'm talking about later. Okay, this is in Scientific America, Western Seagulls in California. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, if you don't know what I'm talking about, we'll explain it after I finish speaking. Okay, I'm not even going there because I don't know. I can't answer what's going on in the world. I can answer the following. I can say the following. I can say the following. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do for Noach? What did they do? He made a table. What was the table? A boat. That's a good answer. Okay, now let's go further. It was a boat. What kind of boat was it? Don't tell me a big boat. I know it was a big boat. Don't tell me a big boat made out of wood. I know it was a big boat made out of wood that had three floors to it and had pairs of animals on it. Very excellent, excellent. And the kosher animals had seven. What else was it? What else was it?
It was a protection.
It was a protection. It was a what?
Haven.
A haven. Now, it was a protection and a haven. What kind of protection was it? From what? Okay, now let's get... Now, Parshat Shot was, it was a protection from the heated water outside that was killing the entire world, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Says the Beis HaLevi, it was also a scientifically enclosed, germ-proof area where the hazards and the pollution on the spiritual level was not able to enter. Otherwise, when they got off the boat, they would have brought the same germs back into the world. It was a haven. I like the word. Your word was? It was protection, right? It was a spiritual haven that blocked out anything from the world from coming in. As everything was being destroyed, this was not in. It was not allowed in. A Kodesh Baruch Hu created a haven. Not only that, the animals that did the wrong type of relationships were not allowed onto the table. Right? Anybody in the airport? Go through a metal detector over here. You went through a metal detector. Sorry, you can't get on. Button, there's no buts. We know exactly what you did. You're out of here. Next. Okay, you can come on. You can't come on. You could come on there, right? That's what happened. But more than that was, it was hermetically sealed. That's what the table was. That's what the table was. Okay, Rabbi Sai, so let's go a step further. Oh, where's the Teva nowadays? Don't tell me on Hari Ararat, please, okay? We don't know where Hari Ararat is. Where's the Teva nowadays?
Base Medrash.
Base Knesset. It could be your bedroom. Could be your house. It could be whatever you make into a spiritual haven. That's tricky. Not easy. Not easy. Someone who wants to be boiner, bias, nemon, l'shemul, teferes, abinyan, adei ad. What does that mean? Very nice. It means you want to get married. Beautiful. Wonderful. Maybe it means you are married. And I want to build a bias nemon. Givaldic. Okay, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? That's the shayla. That's the real shayla. What do I want to do? What's my purpose? Where am I headed? What am I trying to do? What am I trying to build? Okay, now it's challenging. Challenging. Sometimes we can work a little too hard and we can make ourselves or our spouses or our kids, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, crazy. Right? We can't do that either. Good, you have to know the balance. Fine. Okay, that's a good question. Good question. I just read that Baruch Ber said. Baruch Ber was the Talmud Mulek of, anybody know? Baruch Ber Leibowitz was a Rashiva of Yeshiva Kamenetz at the end of his life. He was the Gadol Hador of pre-war Europe. The greatest disseminator of his Rebbe's Torah. His Rebbe was? Who? Avraham Kotler was his Talmud. Rav Chaim Moisel was not his Rebbe. Rav Shaul Salanter was two generations before him. Who? Rav Chaim Voloshin was six generations before him, but you're close because you said the right first name. Who? Rav Chaim Briska. He was the Talmud of the Grach. Of the Grach. He learned in Voloshin. Voloshin was closed in 1891. He was the Talmud of Rav Chaim. He remained his Talmud forever. And after he died, he would never. Everything by him was Rav Chaim. And he said, it's hard for him to understand how a person goes through life for 1 hour without having a Rebbe. It is. Because the purpose of having a Rebbe is for somebody to give you direction about what to do. There's a saying. I don't know if you know about the saying or not. I'll say the saying. If you know the saying, fine. If you don't know the saying, I'll explain it after Shia. Like I said, I'll explain the other thing as well. When to hold them, when to fold them. Okay, you probably don't know what that means. But when to hold them, when to fold them is good. It's good you don't know what it means. It's good. When to hold them, when to fold them. Forget about it. I ever said it, okay? But Lamaisa, what it means is that a person has to know, when should I do it, when shouldn't I do it? When am I doing too much, when am I not doing enough? And it's a very hard thing to know, but it's possible to know. If there are two things involved. One is that I want to do it. I want to do what's right. That's the first thing. We have a vod, meet Thursday nights here in Shul. At the vod, we have Kabbalahs. One of the Kabbalahs lately is, say to Hashem, what's a vod? A vod is a group of people. What are Kabbalahs? Kabbalahs means we accept upon ourselves. Right? Okay, that's probably, you didn't want to know either one because you probably knew both of them. But the mice, we go around the table afterwards and we check. Everybody has to, admit in front of everybody what they did. And the Kabbalah now is, every day, at least once a day, you say to Hashem, Hashem, this is optional, hello. You have to say hello if you don't feel comfortable saying hello. Hashem, I want to do your Ratzon. Please help me. I want to do your Ratzon. Please help me. I want to be an Eved Hashem. Please help me. Please help me. Well, you think it's easy to be an Oyved Hashem and an Eved Hashem in 2000, almost 14, United States of America with the world? Well, it's crazy. Yes? Gevaldic question. What's the answer?
I know.
Okay, very good. 8 years ago at the Siyam HaShas, I spoke about something called the Gigis, which I won't go into right now in detail, but I will tell you the following. A person can do whatever they have to do with a mindset. They can change what they're doing. Example. Why are you exercising? If you, I'm not asking you. Why is the person exercising? So it depends what they do. If you're doing something which is extremely boring, doing something, so it's obvious you're doing it because you want to exercise. If you're doing something which is fun. You're playing a game with someone, which is serious exercise. My example. Okay, racquetball. I love to play racquetball. I used to love to play basketball. I came to Rav, I can't play basketball. And Rebbe said, no basketball, I can't play basketball. Fine. I racquetball, they close the doors, nobody can see anything except for a little slot. I play racquetball. Fine. I love to play racquetball. I'm a competitive person. I like to beat people. I like to kill them when I'm playing. Okay, so a number of years ago, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I started saying before every game in racquetball, I'm playing. I told you this once. Okay? This is the way I started for the game of racquetball. I'm playing L'shem Shemayim, L'shem Bria Saguf, and L'shem Chesed. Chesed is I'm doing him a favor and he's doing me a favor. Okay, now, do I like playing racquetball? Yes. Do I like to beat the guy? Not as much as I used to, but I'm pretty high up there. I still like to beat. Very competitive. Very competitive. But L'maisa, if you ask me why I'm playing, I can tell you that a real part of me, I'm playing L'shem Shemayim. I'm playing L'shem Shemayim. We used to say in yeshiva, why do you go to sleep? Yeshma, you go to sleep. Yeshma, sleep to bagel, get into bed, a book, sleep it out, But if you go to bed and you say, I'm going to bed so that I can have the, I know it sounds very frum, I'm going to bed so I can have the kleichas tomorrow to do a avodas Hashem. I know, come on, you're looking at me, come on, you stop it, you got this white beard, you're so old, you know, come on. No, it's not true. You can all relate to it. You can. I'm doing L'shem Shemayim. I'm doing L'shem Shemayim. It transforms the bagel into a kosher bagel. Or maybe it transforms the bagel into a challah. It's real. It becomes real. It becomes real. You can do it. We can do it. It's real. It's real. So you want to know how to build this teva in our houses, even though we go outside. Here, I'm coming back to the point. Why do you go to Jewel?
To buy food.
To buy food. Why do you need food? Okay, so again, I know we're going to sound frum, and it's sound like a bunch of frumies here, whatever the term anybody wants to use. It's not true. Because here's the difference. If you say I'm going to Jewel for the right reasons, you're not going to be stopped by the magazine rack in the aisle, showing every disgusting, stupidity, horrific, I don't even know what words to use, of the corruption of society. The possibility exists that we won't be affected by it because we're going in and going out. And we know that when we go in, this is not who we are. But we need the things that are in there, so we're going in to be able to maintain who we are, not who they are.
They're naturally affected, though. It's just the fact of what?
Good. Good. That's true. And if you really work, you can have no effect. If you really work. Ah, great question. Because really, it goes against the Mechonin's Maisa of Adar, except for the following. Except for the following. The rest of Jewel is, listen, I know we're giving a share on Jewel over here, but the rest of Jewel is not so bad. The question is what to do. So maybe you'll decide, I'll go to the automatic checkout. There's no magazines.
Why no magazine and there's other people at Jewel?
Other people at Jewel, okay. There are people at Jewel, that's true. That's true. What's that? I didn't know what you said. Okay. I understand. And we're not even talking about the people who have to take a train and go downtown to work. Which is what you're referring to is correct, right? Or even going to an office. Those are all challenges. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu did not say that we are going to divest ourselves completely of what's going on in the world. We can't. Some people are lucky enough. I thank Kodesh Baruch Hu all the time. That all I do all day is drive up Sacramento 4 blocks, turn left on Tui, and then drive out at Tui and go back down Sacramento. And I got enough problems just doing that. I thank Kodesh Baruch Hu every day. I'm not in a carpool. I'm not driving downtown. I'm not on a train. I'm not in an office. You're allowed to be mispalos for Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should be mamayit on the shyness that you can do. But even if not, you can understand that I am a Jewish princess. I'm a Bas Yisrael. I'm connected to the Shechina. I daven in the shul. I learn Torah. Or I daven at home. And I do mitzvahs. And I'm connected. I have a different life. I may have to walk in to get my shoes fixed or to buy some clothing or to buy some food, but that's not who I am. This is who I am. I'll take your question in a second. Okay. I wanted to tell you the following. It's not an advertisement, but I think it's so true. It's so true. Going to a shir is gavaldik. Going to a shiur with a chevra is even more gewaltig. And belonging to a chevra, that are doing the right thing, is super gewaltig. That's one of the things that Ben Osim is about. This is not an advertisement. As appearing for shiur, I mean this. I mean this. It doesn't have to be Ben Osim. It happens to be a very good place to do it. But you need to be attached. It's hard. As you're saying, you're correct. And it's harder if you're alone. It's harder if you're alone. It's so much harder to be alone. Besides the horror that Shlomo Rubashkin is going through. Besides the horror of being in jail. And being disconnected from family. I mean, you know what the horror is? To be in a place where you get chizuk from. Who are you talking to? Where's your minion? Where's your chavrusa? Where's your shul? How do you make it? You should be zeicher to make it, say amen. I just give you an example. And you're right. When you're in an office and you're working somewhere, if you are, and you are alone, you're the only frum girl in the office. You're the only frum person in the office. How do you do it? So sometimes the only answer might be is to get a different job. It might be true. I'm not saying no. But what I am saying is that we have to know that we have to have some type of table. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on here. If you go further in the Beis HaLevi, the Beis HaLevi then discusses the difference between Noach and Avram, what Noach was not capable of doing and what Avram was capable of doing. Noach was not capable of fighting everybody in the world. He didn't have that koyach. As Elohim says, the pasuk, his halach Noach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to help Noach, says the Beis HaLevi. He couldn't do it by himself. But Avram Avinu, says Rashi, as Elohim himself knows, but Avram Avimer, Asher Salachti Lufonai, Lufonov, Noach HaYetzorach Sad, Lutzayim Chav, Avram didn't need it. Avram was stronger than the entire culture of the world that he lived in. That's how great Avram was. Noach didn't have that. You have to go through the whole Beis HaLevi, yes. Noach was better than anybody else in the generation because he put up a fight. He put up a fight. No one else was willing to put up a fight. Everybody else wanted to go down to the mat with the dirt of the culture. And Noach didn't. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him for that. But he told him also 120 years, let's let people know. And nobody came forward. You know why? Because everybody was too addicted. It was too gishmak. It was too gishmak. It was too gishmak. It was just too gishmak. Listen, I'm sure everybody here has read the stories, and some of you maybe met your great-grandparents who went through it. Do I know what it was like, what I would have been, had I been in New York in the 20s and 30s, when everybody was giving up Shabbos? I said in Shul on Shmini Atzeres, I don't understand my great-grandfather. I told my wife afterwards, I came home with a meal. I don't understand how he did it. He built the Shul in 1904 on a farm. Never went to yeshiva day in his life. Why didn't he make a sukkah? I still remember my great-grandfather in the 70s, a sukkah on the farm. I remember going on the cow truck into the field and cutting down pine trees for pesach. But why did he, I took it for granted. I was a kid. I took it for granted. This is what everybody has a grandfather and a great-grandfather like this. It's not true. How did he do it? I remember the people my age, in my family, who couldn't do it. They couldn't be eminent in the soil of paying tuition for their kids. They couldn't do it. And now the children are marrying goyim. My cousins. I'm not talking about the storyland. I'm talking about my cousins. I want to tell you, if I blame them, don't blame them. Anybody who had relatives 30 years ago who were not from has relatives now marrying goyim. This is not a chiddush. I'm not telling you any chiddushim. They've always been the shaitis. The Moshe Feinstein's Rebbe, Reb Pesach Pruskin, I just read, was one out of five children, the only one to remain from. They've been the shaitis throughout the diris. Everybody in this room is only here as a result of someone who withstood the test. Otherwise, maybe you're the one who did it. Maybe it wasn't your parents. Maybe it's you. Maybe it wasn't your grandparents. Maybe it's you. But maybe it was your grandparents or your great-grandparents. It's my great-grandfather. and my grandparents and my parents. They were still in a Soyan. They didn't have to let me go to Lakewood. I don't know what would have happened. In my day, the fight was Lakewood, college, whatever. Every door has its fights. Your door, your fight is the culture. That's your fight. And it's a real fight. When I say your fight versus my fight, I got my own fights. Besides Oreo cookies, right? Everybody has fights. But I'm saying your door. My door, the guy next door had had a mother and a father and a sister and a brother, and they called off for supper and had to do homework. And the world was basically a normal place. And anybody had a deviant lifestyle, no one knew about it. Okay, so rather than Seamus, it was alluring. Universities, this, that, etc. Now it's Taiva, and the Taiva is alluring. It's the Yetzer is a chameleon. But every door needs a table. Every door needs a table. Yes?
The Beis Levi said that even if someone is doing an Avera hidden, it affects the environment.
Correct.
So it seems impossible to escape from it. Even if
you know what he says? A tzaddik, when he goes to Olam Haba, gets the schar for what he did and the schar for other people as well. He gets the other people's chelik. So basically, he says, what do you get other people's chelik for? You get some chelik. What do you get other people's chelik for? Because other people who did Averis made it more difficult for him. He withstood the challenge. They lost their chelik. He picks up their chelik. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. How can you have what?
A tiva.
I want to tell you like this. I don't know if you probably never did. I once had a time in my life where I exercised very vigorously with weights. And you know what happens when you exercise with weights? And you are able to accomplish? You know what the next thing they do is? Mm-hmm. They add more weight. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of exercising? Might as well take it easy. What do you have to do more weights for, right? You have to do more weights for. You want to grow. Want to grow. Part of the way we are challenged is because people doing Averis in their rooms, in the back of their houses, in their cars. It has an effect on us. A negative effect on us. It's a negative effect. Okay, this is in a very high, again, ruchnistic level. I'm telling you right now, where is everybody your age in the world right now on a Sunday night? What is most of the world doing on a Sunday night? Huh? You're in a bar. Yeah, at home in front of the two-dimensional plastic box. I mean, where are they? We know where the world is. So good. They're having a negative effect on us. We're having a positive effect on them. Okay, well, let's not even go there. What are you doing for ourselves right now? We're creating incredible teva. That's what Chumash is about. That's what Chumash is about. I really wanted to speak about the Avos, but I didn't know how long it's going to take me to get through with Noach. Maybe in 4 weeks we'll talk about the Avos and the Imos, what they did, what they did, what they created, what they made, how great they were, how we're still living from them. Okay, Rabbi Sai, I want to conclude by saying the following. We, I'm including myself right now, okay, we all have a responsibility. But let's, for a minute, put aside the big picture. Let's make the picture small. Let's make it myopic. Let's even make it selfish. I want to survive as a from Jew. I want to survive as an Eved Hashem. I want to become a bigger Eved Hashem. I said on Simchus, on Shemini Atzeres, you know, for this you have to be Rabbi Leib Shteinman. Rabbi Leib Shteinman gets an Aliyah in Rosh Hashanah. He makes a Mishaberach. Mishaberach, I was saying, you ever hear people make a Mishaberach? They usually mention, right, their wife, their kids, grandchildren, etc. He makes a Mishaberach. Then they end off Kol Mispalim Kan. Rabbi Leib Shteinman ended off his Mishaberach, and he said, Kol Klal Yisrael. The 99-year-old man living in this four-room apartment that none of us would ever live in for 2 minutes, paint peeling off the walls. Ah, the whole apartment is mamish. He's asking me, he says, I'm a gvir. Look at my apartment, what do I need? Not shaykh. Forget about that. He's not living for himself. I'm going to say it. He's not living for Aaron Leib Shteinman. He's living for us. He's willing to make a Mishaberach the whole Klal Yisrael. And you know what? We benefit from him. His Mesiris Nefesh in that apartment helps us. Just like Rabbi Yasha before him helped us in his two-bedroom apartment with 11 kids and told Shach said, how in the world can you live here? They help us. I'm not talking about our achrayah yourself, everybody else. That's big. I'm talking about achrayah yourself, ourselves. Don't let it in. Don't let it in. Who says we have to let it in? I know you're going to laugh when I say this, okay? I ever tell you the story about when the Rashiva called me to come down to Lakewood? I was in learning in Lakewood, and the Rashiva called me up in my house and said, come down immediately to the office. I ever told you the story? Okay, you don't have to repeat it, even though we'll leave it on the tape. But Rashiva calls up. Rashiva Shlita calls up my house. I'm just married. Kum Lach! I mean, come right away. I was so scared. What did I do? And I get into my car. I run into Yeshiva. He's Rashiva of Long Beach, but he's in Lakewood for whatever it is. And he's pacing in an office. As soon as I walk in, he says he was so upset about something in Yeshiva. He was ranting and raving. And then he goes like this. He says, Ichab Yetzke Zen a Yunger Man. Achoshev a Yunger Man. I just saw a very prominent person. And Zayn Heusen Zen a Gewen Schmutzik. And his pants were dirty. How can he walk around with dirty pants? He was so upset. Then he says like this. Ich sag nit, as medav gein verputzt, as er yusef ko. Which means, I'm not saying you have to walk around all, you know, all spiffy like Zev Kohn. The ken gein normal, as er yerucham olsen. Yerucham olsen, that's a reshiva right now, Blake, right? You walk around. You don't have to be in style like Cohen, like me. Yeah, I used to be in style, you know. Look at me now. I used to be in style, right? Then one day I said, I have to wear what they decide I want to wear. I'm not saying I did this at 18. I have to wear what they want. Why should they tell me what to do? Now, the culture is driven by telling us what to do. If you don't have this car, you're a garnished. You are absolute garnished. If you don't go to this vacation spot, you are an absolute garnished. If you don't look like this person, you are not worth living. Right? Well, that's what they're saying. That's exactly what they're saying. And it's not easy to break. It took me a long time to... I'm in style. What the Chofetz Chaim says is in style. Okay, now again, I didn't say anybody should walk around with a paper bag, right, or a plastic garbage bag, or a barrel. I didn't say anybody should do that. But everybody has to know what's going on. Where am I? Why am I? What's my value system? That's the test, because the Maisa, you know, Paris and everybody else is making us nuts. And we can fight it. We can fight it off. We can fight it all. I didn't say anybody, as I said again, should walk around with a plastic garbage bag. I didn't say that. I didn't say a person cannot look good. I didn't say that. But we have to understand who we are, where we are, and if we have a table. That's the first lesson of Chumash Bereishis. I love Chumash, but I love Bereishis. Who are we? Hishchiz kol basar. Mamish. There are a few words. Hishchiz kol basar is daka el oritz. We're not going to let the world dictate who we are. And we have a positive effect on the world by doing what we're supposed to be doing. Yes. So I want to conclude by saying the following, that take advantage of Nosir. I'm inviting anybody who would like to come shir on Tuesday night at 7:45 at Novi. Sunday morning at 9:30 on Chumash Rashi, starting Tuesday night. This Tuesday night, Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, or anything else you want to do. And then in 2 weeks, actually 2 weeks from yesterday, Rabbi Y.Y. Rubenstein is coming to the show as a scholar in residence. And we're going to have a special shiur for women in the afternoon. I don't know. It's enough that I know he's coming in 2 weeks. That's pretty good. There's so much going on here, I can't keep track. I don't know. There'll be a flyer. There's a flyer all around. There'll be advertisements around the city. Posters. And that's going to be sometimes just for women. Just for women. And that, of course, includes Benosio. So we should all be Matzliach. All of us should be Matzliach. And we should be Zeiche to continue to go bite the rabbis. Okay? And to continue to shtay. Hatzlacha rabba. Thank you all for letting me speak. Okay. Okay, you keep that on the thing, and if I want to get it into the show, I'll tell her. I'm going to let you get it.